Good morning. It's really good to see everybody here today. Certainly has been some nice weather this week. I've certainly enjoyed the sunshine and warm weather. Feels like spring out there. Probably won't last through February. Seems like it gets colder typically again in February. So enjoy it while it lasts. We've been studying my studies of the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. And I'd like to resume that. We've come to the chapter 8 of second letter to the Corinthian church. And in the 8th chapter, he changes topics quite a... deals with various topics in the two letters. But on this one, he approaches the subject of giving, of charity. And he starts out by giving an example of another church that had really done well, had really learned this attribute, this virtue of giving. And not just an individual, but the church itself was kind of accredited with this having done well at this area of their life, their dedication and their progress in learning to be spiritual. So we'll start, and we'll kind of take it verse by verse as we go through and try to cover the first half of chapter 8 this morning. 2 Corinthians 8 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us in much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that he had as he had begun, so he would also finish you in the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. But I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. For I mean not that the other men be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much, had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack." So we want to kind of look at these verses verse by verse. It's a little bit tangly maybe, or I'm not sure what the right word is, but in some of the verses kind of mentions several concepts and in relative to each other, and so we'd like to kind of piece this in to see if we can get the full impact of the message that was given to the brethren there in the Corinthian church. In the first epistle, the Apostle Paul gave a commandment that they should lay by in store. It's what we call a directive, or you know, there's no mincing about it. It's a command. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And then he goes on, when I come, various things. So the question is, was this just given to them, or was it given as a general directive to the church? And based on this writing and others, we see that it was commonplace for all of the churches to have a collection on the first day of the week. And he says, makes a mention here, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So it wasn't just to the Corinthian brethren, it was given to the churches of Galatia. And then based on what we can see other places, Jesus said in Acts 20 and 35 that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this is kind of a counterintuitive work or idea to the human mind. It's not a natural thing that you need to give some of what you've worked for and earned to somebody else, and that you're going to be better off if you do this, and that you're going to be pleasing to God if you do this. But Jesus taught it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's something that we should all attain to get to a position where we can give, and that we will be blessed, is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. It says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So it says here that the Thessalonian brethren had received the word in much affliction. So they were being oppressed. In the early church, there was such persecution that many people were killed. There are people in other countries today that are being killed because of the name of Christ. And it says that out of much affliction that it actually made them more earnest in their willingness and dedication. Their sincerity and devotion was tested by the affliction. And the persecution that they endured. So in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 8, I'd like to read there, it says, or talking about different gifts, teaching and all these different graces that we attain to as we strive to mature in Christ. Verse 8, it says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Let him do it with simplicity. So another version that has the that word there is liberality. Let him do it with liberality is another a word that's used to describe. And from what I understand in reading the uses of this word, simplicity or singleness. So if I take my glasses off, I kind of see double a little bit. Some, you know, it's kind of blurry. I can't really see very good. And I put my glasses on and it's one image that I see. It's not two images. So it's the singleness is the focus, effort going to the same thing. You're going to do this, and you can see what it is you're going to do, and you go for it. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. In the same word is used there, you either despise the one and love the other, or can't remember exactly the wording of it. But you need to have a focus towards giving. If you're going to give with liberality, it just doesn't happen by happenstance. You need to focus on it. You need to do it with determination. So the word means to be undivided in your decision, your focus, and not distracted or see two objects at the same time. So the mentions the abundance of joy that we see when a person is pardoned. Jesus says that the one that was forgiven much will love much, and the one that was forgiven little will love less. And so the same thing is being applied to giving here, is that sometimes the people that have to work the hardest for what they have and go through the hardest times learn the joy of giving, to where that they, it's easier for them to know what it's like to be without, and then when they do have opportunity to share with others. So they had to sacrifice in order to get to this. You know, we all think about what we want next and what we're going to work towards. And the scripture tells us that we need to be cheerful givers, that we make this a priority, where we learn to sacrifice what we can get, not accumulate maybe as much as for ourselves, but we can sacrifice some of those things that we want to help others. So it says that they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Their hardships made their giving more focused and more able to give without grudging. And it says that they gave of their own accord. I was talking here back in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering." So not only were they sacrificing, but they were praying that, "I hope you can take this and you make it to good use for somebody that needs it." They were praying that there would find a purpose, that people would really be benefited by this gift. And it says they did this beyond their power. So they had to cut back maybe on the amount they ate, or the things that they could have for themselves. They says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power." So these Macedonian members of that church, or the churches rather, says it gave beyond their power. It wasn't because they just had so much, they didn't know what to do with it. Well, let's give some here, or, find leftovers in the closet that you're not going to use anymore, and, do that. They gave things that were valuable to them. It was beyond their power, it says. They didn't just give because it was running out their ears or whatever. They had to make their own sacrifices to... And it says, "With much entreaty, please come over, take this gift, see that, find a worthy cause, or we want to help, we want to be there." So the Apostle Paul is giving them as an example to the Corinthian brethren, who had said they would help a year earlier, as we read later on, that they had agreed they were going to save up money and to help, but they hadn't done it yet. So the Apostle Paul is writing them this, look what your brethren over here are doing. They don't have as much as you have probably, but they have given with much entreaty, beyond their power, another thing it says there. And it says in verse 5, "This they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So this is the way giving works, is that first we become dedicated to God, that want to be a Christian, we want to grow in our faith and our love and all of the different aspects, the virtues of a Christian. And it says that this they did, they first gave themselves to God, and that's what to the Lord, and then it says, "and unto us by the will of God." So if a person wants to grow, you need to dedicate your life to Christ, and that becomes your focus, your purpose. And then you're able to see the needs of others and look beyond yourself. If you just stay focused on yourself and don't give yourself to being less maybe concerned about yourself than others, then it gives you the vision or the ability to see the benefit in helping others. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that he, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Titus is going to go as a messenger. He's going to go and visit the church there. And so he's desired Titus, it says. He appealed to Titus that when he gets there, that he helps you get this gathering of, you know, helps to spur you on to give a gift like you said you would. So he's going to send Titus, and so that Titus can gather up the gift and to deliver it. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So they were lacking a little bit in the fact that they had grown in many other areas as a church, as individuals, but they were shy on getting this aspect of their dedication to God. And verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. This was kind of interesting to me and a little bit puzzling, actually. He says, well, I'm not telling you by command here, but he had given a command in the first chapter. We just read that on the first day of the week, each should lay by in store. So there is a command there, but I think what he means here by not of command is that the motivation that we have as Christians should not be because thou shalt. That if that's the only reason, that's the way it got to be with the children of Israel when they would make these sacrifices. You know, if it's this kind of sin, well, you bring a heifer or you do this, and you know, boy, I sure would have liked to have, you know, shared that with all my family, you know, at the gathering or whatever, but I had to give it to God. You know, it was I'd made this misstep, and so I had to do it. And that's the way the children of Israel, it says, well, it wasn't those sacrifices that God was pleased with, but rather a heart of a contrite heart is one of the things that it mentions. And so I think the Apostle Paul is saying if you're only going to do this because I tell you you have to, then it's not going to benefit you. You're not going to grow in the grace just because you're told to contribute and to give to God, and you do it out of a reservation or unwillingness to do it cheerfully. And so what he's trying to teach them here is that all of the graces of God teach us. They're things that we learn to love about God and about how we follow God's lead. And he says, I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Do you really love God? Or is this just something that's convenient for you and you really don't really care? So he says, this is the way that we can show our love, is by contributing to others for their needs. Verse 9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. So Jesus Christ gave us an example, coming to the earth, leaving his home in glory, coming down and living as a human, and then not only that, but being humiliated, being beaten, being ridiculed, all of the sorrow that he endured was to give us an example that we should be concerned for others. God was concerned with us enough to give us the sacrifice. Jesus loved us enough that he gave his life so that we can be rich. And certainly we see then the work of love and charity in Jesus Christ, our example. Good. Let's turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and read verses 34 through 40. It's an illustration that Jesus gave that illustrates this point very well. Then the king shall say to them on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or fed thee, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" So they're saying, "Well, we never saw you, Jesus." And his answer was said, and the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least one of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So when we give, we're giving to God, not to others or for the notoriety that we might be given, but we're given it because of our love. And it says in the Corinthian letter there that is to prove the sincerity of your love. Do you really have love? You said you would give, but you haven't. What's going on here? So he's asking some very tough questions and giving some pretty tough illustrations here that they haven't really come through on this virtue in Christ to give. John 3:17, please, or 1 John 3, sorry. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Has he proved his sincerity of love if he has not given? For continuing in verse 10, it says, "And herein," verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 8, "and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." So they had jumped out ahead, I guess, or whatever, to be forward a year. You know, when the idea came up that this church needed help, there were people in dire straits there. From what I understand, there was an earthquake. And I don't know if I have it handy here. I did write it down somewhere. I don't know where it is in my notes. But it was predicted in Acts about a great famine that would come upon all the earth. And apparently that had happened. And the brethren in Jerusalem, there had been an earthquake and had destroyed all their crops. And so there was no food to gather. And so the other churches around, it was really important for them to gather those that had food to share it with others. And so they had decided and said, "Yeah, we'd like to do that. We'd like to give." But they never did actually go through with it. And a lot of times it's just the lack of planning or the lack of initiative to do things like this. And so this is where it might not have been that they didn't have the love or the will to do it, but just never got around to it. And how many times do we do things where we intend to, but we never get to it? Apparently from this, it's not good enough that we have good intentions. Verse 11, it says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." So they first had the willingness, and that's the start of having a good heart and being generous, is to decide that you want to, and then the second is to actually go follow through and to do it. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." So Jesus showed his love by example, giving the ultimate sacrifice so that we might become rich. So he mentions here what's expedient for them. So he had given a command earlier, but he's saying that it's really something that has to be in your heart, or it's not going to be much good, if at all. They need to follow through with an action. And then he refers to a scripture in the Old Testament. Says verse 12, "For if there first be a willing mind, and it is accepted according to a man that he hath, and not according to that he hath not." So if you don't have anything to give, God's not going to expect as much in giving if you don't have it to give. He's been talking about giving from the heart and the willingness that they had. So I think this could be applied. I'm not saying that it necessarily does, but it seems to me that when he says, according to a man that as he hath, not that you have not. So if you really don't have the love in your heart, you're not going to give, you know. But if you do have the love in your heart, if you're given the gift, you should certainly follow through and learn to use that and to exercise that. But if you don't have the love in your heart, then it's really not going to do you much good anyways to give. So not sure if that's, but I think it's probably talking more about if you have an abundance of goods. And I know of, you know, several people in my life that are pretty well off. And I worked for one fellow that what was his was his, and what was mine was his too, it seemed like. It was just never a penny he was going to get out of his sight that he could, you know, if he could claim it, it was his. And I just had to learn to live with that. It was never an opportunity where we could do better than just the minimum required that he had to pay us, because it, you know, it was is in writing. And even then, sometimes, you know, he fudged the things his way. But then other people that I know that are wealthy give away half of their income, and you really, to know a person like that is a great blessing, and to see the heart of cheerfulness and giving. And seeing people that don't have anything that are willing to give, work, help you do things that you need to get done to make things work, and certainly a blessing to be around those kinds of people. And God loves a cheerful giver, so I do too. Appreciate that. Verses 13 and 14. "For I mean that not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." So if we took this totally literally, then I guess we would all have a commune, and, you know, all of our income and all of our assets and everything. But this was apparently some of the churches may have done that, and they were told to go out and get a job, you know, don't be loafing around. And so he makes reference here that, you know, if you really don't have enough for yourself, don't burden yourself so that somebody can sit in a couch and, you know, not have to work, because you're going to give to them. He says, "I mean not that the other be eased and ye burdened." So where there is abundance and you can give and you make an effort and you try, you know, the church here apparently wasn't real rich, but they had enough that they could give. And there was other people that were starving, apparently. And so they're prodded here to share. Let's give everybody, you know, there's enough here to go around that we can all eat. And if you're a Christian, that should be a priority, to take care of other Christians. So so at this particular time, apparently the Corinthian church, by what he says here, in verse 14, says, "But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want." So apparently the church wasn't going to be starving if they gave some of their... And then he says, and that by their abundance, they also may be a supply. So you don't know what the future is. It may be that in 2 years, you guys are going to be really looking for, you know, a way to survive. And they may be able to help out you in the future. So that's what this is about, is helping others through hard times. And in verse 15, it says, "That is as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." So when God was providing for his people in the desert, bringing manna down, they were told to go out and gather what they needed. And if they had extra, to give some to the other. And let's turn to Exodus 16 and verse 18. This was a principle that was existing in the Old Covenant as well. And let's see, verse 18, it says, "And they did meet it with an omer, and he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack." So God rained manna, and they went out and they gathered, and sometimes there was a big pile here, and they gathered a bunch, and they went back and they shared it with others, and some people went out their door, and you know, wherever they lived, and there just wasn't much, and so they were able to get manna from those who had been given extra. So that's the example that the Apostle Paul refers to, that this is a long time standing principle with the church and with God, that his people are taken care of, and many times it's other Christians, other churches that are the source for the lack. And I hope the message has been beneficial to you. I commend the church here for the generous giving. We certainly have examples of members that are very generous, and we want to thank each one. Some of you know who you are, and I thank you, and we hope that we're pleasing to the Lord in this way. If there's a way we can help through prayer or another matter, please come forward as we stand and sing the song.